So as you follow that sense of I am into the breath, just visualize bringing that breath into your heart space, feeling yourself opening your heart wider and wider, and with your exhale, imagine pushing that intention to be an expression of spirit. Let it be released from your solar plexus just a few inches below. So breathing in to your heart and then releasing the breath through the solar plexus. And then bring into your awareness someone or something that you appreciate. Could be a family member, a life partner, child, a beloved pet, or even a fond memory. Just bring into your awareness the felt sense of appreciation and gratitude, and allow these feelings to arise within yourself and extend beyond your body, so that together we create in this room the energetic field of heart-centered coherence. And as we do this, we begin to establish a kind of field within which we can go deeper into an awareness of our connection to spirit. And with an open heart, we indeed draw into our experience a greater depth of connection, knowing that no matter what is going on in the outer, it arises from deep within. And so we seek to reset, to reestablish ourselves in the awareness of our oneness with God and our capacity to be a connecting link with love and compassion as a part of this grand oneness that is seeking to live itself, to bring itself forth amidst all of the cares of this world. And so our one intent is simply to be that openness, that avenue through which the expression of love and gratitude and compassion can be a source can be an extension of spirit, can make a difference in the world. And to know at the very depths of our being that we are the one unto our own life, that we have been sent by spirit, that while on an intellectual level we may have doubts and fears, worries, and stuff, at the depths of this knowing, we can give thanks that we are empowered to be who we've come here to be, to transcend that which is our limits. And in so doing, just offering ourselves to be instruments of spirit and saying yes to this invitation, being open to the possibilities, and knowing that it gets done through us. And so let us consecrate this intention by going into the silence, going beyond the words, going beyond the images, and simply resting in the presence, in the silence. Breathe in and release. As we draw ourselves back to this moment, this place, we carry with us that connection to the depths of our being. And we give thanks that we have touched and experienced a dimension of ourselves that is pure spirit. It's the embodiment of love that we now seek to be the mantle that carries us throughout this day and in all of our journey. We give thanks for the outworking of spirit and the expression of good as it manifests in our lives. For this time that we share together with this intention to be the one unto our world, we are grateful. Thank you, God. So it is.
All right. Okay, good morning. My name is Emily, and I got a nice introduction from Jane, and I would like to start by saying thank you for everybody that came here to support me. I recently graduated high school, and I am now serving as the current regional officer of the Northwest YOU, and next year I'm planning to attend Western Washington University. I'm the kind of person who loves to be busy. I would take challenging classes, time-consuming extracurriculars, and hang out with my friends in whatever free time I had. This lifestyle was great because if I had a problem, I always had a means of distracting myself. And I could maintain my self-esteem because I felt like doing a lot meant I was successful. I'd been so busy that I had made no spiritual growth because my busy lifestyle had made me feel comfortable enough that I didn't need to look to spiritual messages to be happy. I could just stay busy. This was all, of course, an elaborate distraction from my own self-worth issues and from my deep unhappiness, until I lost my ability to be busy. I competed in speech and debate throughout high school, and through hard work, I became very competitive. In February of my junior year, on three consecutive weekends, I traveled and competed at University of Puget Sound, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and UC Berkeley. On top of already taking AP classes, my mind loved the excitement and the busyness, but my body just couldn't handle it. When I came back, I suddenly became very sick. I missed over 2 weeks of school due to extreme fatigue and exhaustion, and I fell so far behind in school, I had to drop half of my schedule. I also had to skip competing in state debate, and I had to get on a disability accommodation program in order to go to school. When I went to the doctors to get answers, all my test results came back negative, and I was told I'll probably feel better in a month. Without the full schedule I was used to, I quickly became very isolated and bored and unhappy. I was frustrated because I thought that to be happy, you had to do the things you wanted to do, and I no longer could do that. I felt frustrated. I wondered, if everything is in divine order, why is this happening to me? Why don't I have any answers? How can a true child of God become sick? I dove into a deep pit of moral and spiritual skepticism, and I blamed myself for my illness. I thought I was being punished. And my self-esteem fell even lower at the embarrassment of having to drop my AP classes, not being able to do debate, not even being able to see my friends. Summer took some of the academic pressure off, and when I did feel good, I could go see people, I could do some things I wanted, and I was making it through, but still just barely. I decided to push myself and sign up for Running Start and attended SFCC in the fall. The classes were too challenging and my health couldn't keep up with the workload, even though I wanted to. I kept seeing an increasingly long string of doctors with still no diagnosis, no explanation, let alone any treatment. By October, I was feeling depressed, isolated, and embarrassed. But I got a little bit of strength, and I forced myself to attend the fall YOU event retreat. I felt renewed by being in a supportive community, But I was still confused about how everything could be in universal balance, and simultaneously, every day I was experiencing pain, and I didn't get better no matter how hard I tried or how badly I wanted to. The YOU community gave me the strength to drop my classes before failing and switch to a high school plan that I was able to do, and I got back on track to graduate. I regained faith in the Unity community and, in November, decided to take the Q Process workshop. After the class, my perspective and my relationships started changing. I realized that many of my triggers were related to anger that was covering up fear. Fear of not having a future. Fear of being out of control. Fear of isolation. The more I thought about this fear, the more I realized that being sick was not my fault. It was just something that happened, and no amount of worrying or fear was going to fix it. Life is going to happen however it's going to happen, and the best part is I began to realize that I would be okay no matter what. Accepting that nothing and no one can diminish you can be difficult. Slowly, little by little, I began rebuilding my self-image. One distinct time I can remember, I was in a store and two other girls were there. Immediately, I felt myself tense up, and I was afraid that they were judging me or looking at me or something like that. And then I stopped and looked at them and noticed that they weren't even paying attention to me. They were just shopping. And then I asked myself, where did this fear come from? Immediately, my mind remembered a time in seventh grade when I had gotten in a fight with my best friend, lost all my mutual friends, and this fight was so bad that both of us went to different schools the next year. I was overwhelmed with compassion for my tiny little seventh grade self, who didn't have any friends and who was very hurt. And I realized that I'd been carrying around the weight of this experience my whole life until now. I felt the hurt of my past, and then I let it go. Fast forward a few months to I was prom dress shopping. My friend had canceled with me, so I had to go with my mom, which was, like, so lame. I was the only girl in the store with my mom. But I didn't really care because it was so much fun trying on these huge, sparkly dresses. Leaving the store, my mom said, "I couldn't believe the glares those girls were giving you. They couldn't stop looking at you." I was shocked because I had barely noticed them. The fact that I didn't need someone else's approval or judgment was probably the reason that they were glaring at me. Fast forward. I finally, after seeing these doctors, got a diagnosis of fibromyalgia. Fibromyalgia is a chronic illness and is characterized by extreme fatigue and pain throughout one's entire body, as well as a big list of other symptoms. At first, I was relieved to have a label until my doctors began talking about improving my quality of life. I felt like an old dog waiting to be put down. Having a vague and chronic illness forced me to take responsibility for myself. There wasn't a special pill I could take. There wasn't one program I could do. I had to do it all myself. And I could no longer have a busy schedule because I didn't even know if I'd be able to get out of bed the next day. I was forced to make myself and my body my top priority before anyone else and before anything else in order to be healthy. I released my fear, my need for control, and my bitterness at the universe. I began to love my body in a new way. I admired how sensitive and complex it was, and truly how much my body did for me, even if it wasn't very good at it. I felt truly blessed to be able to see my friends when I could, to go for a walk sometimes, to pet my dog. Even things I used to see as chores, I looked forward to. I felt so lucky walking through the halls of my high school and to be able to sit in a classroom and be with everybody else. My time had become more valuable than ever before. And I was still physically sick, but for the first time in my life, I was happy to just be alive. I began to notice that this attitude really set me apart from others. While attending the UC Berkeley debate tournament this year, my team had spare time to do a few tourist activities in San Francisco. Everyone began choosing the activity that they wanted to do and taking sides and acting as though if they didn't do this activity, the trip would not be good. People started blaming others and arguing. And I think sometimes people feel like they have to have the maximum amount of fun in the minimum amount of time while spending the least amount of money, which if you ask me is a pretty impossible task. In the chaos of this team argument, I looked around the beautiful campus and I felt overwhelmed. A few months ago, I didn't even think I was going to graduate. And here I was in this beautiful place, succeeding in this competition and having the opportunity to even have this argument about tourism. And I was sad that others did not feel the same gratitude. I used to show horses. If you take a nice horse out and you saddle them up and the horse starts acting up, there's usually something wrong. You have to get off the horse and see what the problem is. Maybe they didn't get fed, or their tongue got stuck over the bit, or there was a thorn between the horse and the saddle. And once you fix that problem, the horse is back to normal. Listening to my teammates, I noticed that they all had their little thorns that were making them defensive and agitated. Everyone has these little thorns that we don't realize. And when someone is acting like, well, a thorn in your side, they still deserve compassion. And here's the thing, my story is universal. Everyone in their own way is sick. Sickness can include a past traumatic experience or a mental illness or poverty or addiction or discrimination or anything. Most of these, if not all of them, are out of our control. The only thing you can control is your perspective and your behavior. The cure is not going back to the way you were before. It's not worrying. It's not blaming your family or your body or the doctors or the universe. The cure is not seeking help outside of yourself. The cure is being grateful for the good and the bad and everything that exists in between. And I have now come to a place where I understand that getting sick is the greatest blessing I have ever received from the universe. It's given me greater strength and compassion than anything I've ever experienced. And I'm still growing and still learning every day. When I experience pain, I take a moment to breathe through it, and I give thanks. I give thanks that my body works, that I am where I am, and that I am alive. I send love to my body, and I send love to my spirit. I know that the pain is very difficult, but it does not diminish my experience. Every kind of pain is difficult, but cannot diminish your experience unless you let it. So whether you feel anger, or sadness, or pain, or sickness, Spirit has blessed you with the ability to find joy and compassion. No matter what your condition, you can truly find gratitude in sickness and in health. Thank you.